Okay, here we go. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Go there. One of my favorite stories. I quote it all the time. A lot of you may not know that I'm quoting all the time, but you will understand that in just a minute. But a little background. The Israelites are done with wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They are on the east side of the Jordan. They're looking over into Canaan. What they call the promised land. The land flowing with milk and honey. They've been waiting to go in this place for 40 years. They have defeated the kings, the Amorites, on the eastern side of the Jordan, and now they're ready to go over. God has told Moses, you aren't going. Joshua's going, but you're not going to go. And you're not going to go because of your disobedience. And I'm not going to tell you what that disobedience is. You can find it for yourself in Numbers chapter 20. I'll give you something, a little homework. I'm trying to spark your interest. Open the Bible tomorrow in your devotions, Numbers 20, and see what Moses did that kept him from going into the promised land. As I said, Joshua has been named as Moses' successor. And Joshua's a good guy. Joshua's been a great help to Moses. But does God speak to Joshua? I know I'm reading something in here, but they had to be thinking this. God spoke to Moses, but is he going to spoke to Joshua? God did amazing miracles through Moses, but is he going to do the same to Joshua? We got to get all these people across the Jordan, and then when we get on the other side, these people are not going to just give us their land. We need a miracle. We need God to go before us and give us this land. As the Israelites stood on the east side of the Jordan looking out, they must have been a little fearful about an uncertain future. I don't think a day goes by that I don't hear about someone in this church dealing with an uncertain future. It may be because of something the doctor said, or something that an employer said, or something that a husband, a spouse said, a child. They're just dealing with an uncertain future. I hear it every single day. And this morning, right now, many of you are just like the Israelites on the east side of the Jordan, looking into 2019, and it's very uncertain. This message is for you today. 2018 is over. 2019, 365 days of uncertainty. Oh, Dave, he came to be encouraged. There's going to be, some of these days are going to be filled with joy. Some are not. There's going to be opportunities, missed opportunities, problems. How many of you know things in 2019, there's going to be some things that aren't going to go like you planned? And if for some reason that's news to you, I don't know what to say. So the Israelites are about ready to move into the promised land. And Moses has some encouraging words for them. In chapters 28 through 30, Moses has given the Israelites his final instruction. He's saying, do this, if you obey God, you're going to be blessed. If you disobey him, there's going to be consequences. 28, 29, and 30. Now we're in chapter 31, and he wants to encourage the Israelites as they stand on the east side of Jordan and look into an uncertain future. The title of this message is Four Reasons to be Optimistic About 2019. Somebody joked yesterday at the prayer meeting and said, well, Dave, is it going to be a five-minute message? I said, no. There's a lot to be optimistic about 2019. This is a personal message. It's not a general message about optimism. It's how you personally can be optimistic about wherever you sit right now and looking into an uncertain future. Let's go ahead and read Deuteronomy 31, 1 through 8. So Moses went and spoke these words to the Israel. Said to them, I am 120 years old. I am no longer able to come and go. And the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross this Jordan. It is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as the Lord has spoken. The Lord will do to them just as he did to Sihon and Og, the king of the Amorites. This is the east side of the Jordan. And to their land when he destroyed them. The Lord will deliver them up before you, and you shall do to them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong, courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous. You shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. God, speaking through Moses, tells us four reasons why you and I, on a personal level, can be optimistic about 2019, no matter what it may hold for us. Number one, the Lord's going to go ahead of you. Now, if you've been around me for any length of time, you know that I talk about this all the time. It's a fantastic thing to think about. God has gone ahead in your life. You're walking down a road. He's already gone on a horse and scouted out for you ahead of you. You know, like the old, you know, Indian movies, you know, the Cowboys and Indians. You had a scout that went. He's already scouted it out. He's prepared your way. And this is something that Moses has told the Israelites quite often, this fact that God goes ahead of them. I mean, they had a cloud and a pillar leading them. Exodus 23:20. Behold, I am going to send an angel, this is God speaking, behold, I'm going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way. Exodus 23. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the land of all those ites. Exodus 32, but go now, lead the people where I told you, behold, my angel shall go before you. Moses understood from experience that God went ahead of them. God goes ahead of his people preparing the way. So often you and I stand on the east side of the Jordan, and we're filled with fear about tomorrow. And I think one of the reasons is because we forget that God has gone ahead of us. Certainly not saying that things might not be tough, but it will give you a different perspective if you remind yourself that God's went ahead of me. When I go see this doctor, it's going to be exactly the doctor that God has planned for me to see. And I'm going to go and I'm going to have these tests and he's going to go ahead of me. As I go into this interview, the exact people he wants to interview me are going to interview me. When I send in this application, it's going to go just where he wants it to go. Just remember the story. So I did not want to go to seminary. I thought it was, you know, the worst thing that possibly happened. And my father wanted me to go to the seminary in Dubuque, Iowa. Why do I want Dubuque, Iowa? Are you kidding me? Where is that? I've heard of Iowa, but where's Dubuque? I mean, even it sounds like rebuke. I mean, where is this place? But out of obedience, I sent my application in. I didn't hear from. Finally, well, see, Dad, they don't want me. So what happened was, I sent in my application, they had put it on top of a file, and it had fallen in between two file cabinets. Now, come on. That was God, right? Now, wait a minute. And so, I went off to teaching. But the Lord did that because he wanted Mark and I to go back together. What I'm trying to say is God orders your steps. He's gone ahead of you. I don't know if an angel went down there because I needed to go the next year. I was here early. I'd have gone to that place and been eaten alive by those people. Mark really helped me the first year of seminary. I said, what are they talking about? He goes, oh, yeah, because he had got a degree in Bible, and I was basically a coach. Anyway, I could tell you how to do push-ups and that kind of thing. I'd run a lap. I didn't know. Anyway. He's going to prepare the way. Isaiah 45:2. I will go before you and make the rough places smooth. I will shatter the doors of bronze and cut through their iron bars. Tell me that isn't a great scripture. So maybe you're anxious about the future. And there's nothing, I mean, come on, if you're looking at an uncertain future, it's normal to be anxious. But you don't have to be fearful. You don't have to lose sleep because God has gone ahead of you. Remember, Bill Wilson told me before I had my operation, you guys, I didn't know, they didn't know if the tumor had gone up into my brain or not. They wouldn't really know until they operated. And if it had gone to my brain, peace out. You know what I mean? I'm done. So I'm a little nervous. I mean, come on. I don't know what, you know, walk. And Bill Wilson told me, he said, you're going to get there, you're going to get to the hospital early in the morning, and you're going to go down this long hallway. And he said, it's going to be like those movies where, you know, it just seems like it goes forever, and it's going to go back and forth. He says, and everything in you is going to say, turn around and run out of here. So there I was, walking down the hallway, the same thing out, and I was nervous. But God went ahead of me. In every... You know, most Christians have a testimony, something like this, where God got them the right doctor. It just falls into place. It's because God went ahead of you. God has prepared the way. Moses tells us that God not only prepares the way, but secondly, number two, he's going to go with you. So he scouts out, and he comes back, and he walks with you. Wherever you are, whatever your situation, God is there. School, work, hospital, the impossible task, the accusation of the, you know, whatever, even if you're in a foreign country. You know, Dubuque is a foreign country. Actually, because God did go ahead of me, it was the worst 2 years of my life, but also the best, in that God used it. When I left there, I knew what I believed. There's nothing like being in a situation where you're being attacked every day and you have to defend the Word of God every day. When I left, I knew what I believed. And that was worth going there. I say that now, looking back. Isaiah 43:2 says this, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. In other words, wherever you go, God is going to be with you. And not only that, and we forget this, God is also with us when we go through incredibly good situations. We need to thank Him. We need to thank God for the good and the bad simply because He's with us. In Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, David talks about God as a shepherd. And you can't shepherd sheep or herd goats from a distance. During biblical times, now I suppose you can fly around with a helicopter, but during biblical times, you had to, if you want to protect the sheep, you had to be with them. I just got back from Israel and a few weeks ago, and the Bedouins still live in the desert. They're still outside of Jerusalem. They're still outside near Jericho. They're still there, hundreds of them, with the camels and they're shepherds, and they have goats, they have sheep. And one of the reasons why I like to go on this road, going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, there's a lot of reasons, but you go down there, and the Bedouins are there with their sheep and their goats, just like they were 2,000 years ago. And they're right with them. They have to protect them. No matter what road you may be on, God's people never travel alone. In 1992, some of you weren't even born, but in 1992, looking over there, I see some guys. My children weren't even born. Anyway, so 1992, the Summer Olympics were held in Barcelona, Spain. Eric Redmond, he had dreamed his whole life of competing in the Olympics since he was a little kid for a gold medal. He was a star in high school, a star in college. His best event was the 400 meters. In college, he ran the 200. He ran a bunch of things, but when you get into the Olympics, you know. So he trained. It was the semifinals. The gun went off. He shot out of the blocks. He was leading. The first turn, he increased his lead. Went down the second turn, increased his lead again. Coming down, back stretch, he felt an excruciating pain in his leg, and he went face first on the track. Of course, the other guys ran past him. Can only imagine what his thoughts were laying there. 15 years of work down the drain, maybe even longer. He had ripped his hamstring. So he gets up, and he's determined to finish the race. And so he starts going like this, you know. And meanwhile, the race had been finished, and, you know, they had grabbed their country's flag, and they're running around. And people didn't notice, but a man ran out on the stage. I mean, out on the track where his son was going like this, you know, you're trying to get down. Well, it was his father. He said, "Son, you don't have to do this. Let's go in the locker room. Let's get a doctor. Let's figure out what's wrong." He said, "Dad, I've worked all these years. I'm going to finish this race." His dad says, "Okay, then I'm going to finish it with you." Took his arm, put it around his neck, and they hobbled around. Now, one by one, the people in that stadium started to figure out what was going on. Announcer said that was Eric's dad helping him. One by one, people on that stage forgot about the winners and started concentrating on what was going on. They got up, they cheered. When Eric and his father passed the finish line, the place went crazy. There was a dad helping his son. The clips. No one remembers who won the 400 meters in 1992. But tens of thousands of people remember Eric Redmond's dad taking him across the finish line. And the highlight video clips of that Olympics always has that in it. I don't know. We all don't know what lies ahead for 2019, but I can tell you this. If need be, God will lift you up. Jesus will lift you up. Put your arm around his shoulder, and he'll take you across the finish line. He'll lead you in the right direction. You start going this way. What are you doing? No. That's it. He'll help you from making a mistake because he's with you. Thirdly, Moses says, if you're on the east side of the Jordan and you're looking into an uncertain future, number three, understand that the Lord is going to deliver you. Whatever you may face in 2019, trust in Jesus, trust in God, and he will deliver you. Psalms 3:8. From the Lord comes deliverance. From the Lord comes deliverance. 2 Samuel 22. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. Psalm 40, verse 17. I am afflicted and needy. Let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Psalm 116. You have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Isaiah 46:4. Even to your old age, I am the same. Even to your graying, I will bear you. I have done it. I will carry you. I will bear you and I will deliver you. 2 Timothy 4:18. The Lord will rescue. This is Paul. He's speaking to Timothy. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. In other words, he will deliver me and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Throughout the Bible, again and again, we are promised deliverance from God. All you have to do is read through 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. You got a list of all these kings. And again, the kings who tried to do right in the sight of the Lord, God again and again and again delivered them miraculously. Psalms 34, 17. And guys, keep this up for a minute. This is one of my Bible verses. The righteous cry, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The righteous cry, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. Now, who are the righteous? Who are they? You. If you have given your life to Jesus, if you have accepted what the gift that Jesus Christ gave you by dying on the cross, if you've said, Lord, come into my life, I accept you as Savior, you are called the righteous of God. There is no barrier between you and God. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, you can have access to God. The next chapter, chapter 3, verse 12, he said you can have bold access. And then in verse 20, he said you have access, bold access, immediate access to God. And because of that, God is going to do beyond what you ask or you think. In 2019, the Lord is going to deliver you in ways that you had never dreamed. Things are going to come into your life, and if you'll give them to God, if you'll trust in him, he will deliver you in ways that you can't even imagine, beyond what you can imagine. This is what I know. This is what I know after 44 years being a Christian. The Egyptians are going to come after you. They're going to try to destroy you. Your back's going to be against the Red Sea, but God is going to deliver you from the Egyptians. He is going to part the Red Sea for you. There are going to be walls. He's going to take you in the wilderness. You're going to be in the wilderness, you're going to be in need, and God is going to provide for you. You're going to have walls in your life. And just like the walls in Jericho, you're going to need them to be removed, and God is going to break them down for you. He is going to close the mouths of the lions. He is going to lead you out. Keep you safe in the fiery furnace. Time and time again in my life and the situations of this church, God has delivered us from what the enemy had planned. I didn't write anything down because I said, Lord, just when I'm standing up there, give me things. Okay, here, just in the life of this church. We were a small church. What are the leaders in that church at that time? The wife, the guy was on the board, the wife came to me, gave me single-spaced, typed 2 pages of everything that was wrong with the church. I kid you not. I read this thing, I went, you gotta be kidding me. I wanted a mark, so I said, look at this. Not good. So we got underneath. I still remember, got underneath his office and just said, Lord, these people are important to the church. We just completely give this to you. Deliver us. Now, I'm going to tell you something. 2 weeks later, they were packing and moving all the way across the country. 2 weeks. No, you don't have to clap. God delivers. Thinking of something else. We had a guy on staff here. Began teaching things. Mark and I didn't even know it. Began teaching things. He said, well, you know, like the book of Matthew, there's a lot in there that you just, you know. The writer of Matthew, he was influenced by his culture, and so there's a lot of things you can't, you know, blah, blah, blah. We didn't even know he was teaching that. And so we confronted him. He said, you know, you obviously can't be a pastor here anymore. In other words, you're fired. He got a hold of the mailing list of everyone in this church, sent them, every person in this church got a letter from him, describing, you know, from him, how Mark and I were horrible liars, on and on and on. What is incredible to me is about 150, 200 people believed them just like that and left the church. Boom. I learned something. How easy it is for people to believe the worst about someone else. The next Sunday, Mark and I just said, there's a letter here from Mark and I about a letter you all received, if you want to read it. But God delivered us. Here we are. Listen, and an amazing thing. We lost all those people in a very short period of time. God brought all those people, brought new people into the church. God has thwarted the enemy's plans in my own life, the life of my family. I'm telling you, if you're looking into an uncertain future, it doesn't matter what the world, the enemy, someone who, an individual wants to destroy you, you are the righteous of God. You are anointed. God loves you. Jesus loves you. He is walking with you. And I'm telling you right now, after 44 years, he will deliver you. Trust in him. Another one of my Bible verses. I mean, it's mine. Well, it can also be yours. I just memorize it. Micah 7, 7 and 8. But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me. That is a scripture to base your life on. I love this word. I love that scripture. God is our deliverer. And anybody who has been a Christian for any length of time, we could put a microphone here, and one after another would say, this is how the Lord delivered me. It was a miracle. Fourthly, Moses said, if you're on the east side of the Jordan, you're looking into an uncertain future, remember that God's word to you will not fail. God's word to you will not fail. Guys, we live in a sewer. In our society, in Southern California, this is a place I know, we live in a sewer of unfaithfulness. Parents can't trust their kids. Kids can't trust their parents. Employers can't trust their employees. Employees can't trust their employers. If you're in business, you can't trust someone you do business with. You have to have contracts and this and that and the other. People lie to one another on a regular basis. Politicians say things to us that they know darn well they're never going to do. And we believe them. People lie all the time. A person's word means very little. And you see, I'm old enough to remember a different America. It didn't used to be that way. When I was a kid, I got drilled into me by every man I knew. Your word, your integrity is the one thing you have that no one can take away from you. You make sure when you say something, you do it. Period. When you stick your hand out and you shake on something, you do it. A college student walked into a photography studio. He had a picture of his girlfriend in a frame. He said, can I get a copy of this? The guy said, sure. Come back in an hour. I'm really busy, but I'll have it for you in an hour. So the studio owner opens up the frame, gets the picture out, and on the back is written this. My dearest Tom, I love you with all my heart. I love you more and more each day. I will love you forever. I'm yours for all eternity. It was signed, Always and Always, Diane. You contained a P.S. If we ever break up, I want this picture back. Now, I didn't tell you that so you could laugh. It is kind of humorous, but listen. In my mother's generation, no woman would ever have written that in a million years. she would have written, I love you more and more every day, because that's truthful. She would have never said, I love you for all eternity, because she would have said, I don't know. Maybe I won't. Maybe we'll break up. It's just an attitude. We live in a society where one's word doesn't mean what it used to mean. And that's sad. But God's word always fulfills what he says it's going to do. Always. You and I may live in a sewer of unfaithfulness, but if you trust in God, you will never be disappointed. In contrast to what we see in society all around us, God is 100% reliable. He keeps his word to us. Joshua 21:45. Not one of the good promises which the Lord has made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. Blessed be the Lord. This is 1 Kings 8. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people according to all that he has promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promises, which he promised through Moses, his servant. And remember, the Bible tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is just as faithful now to you as he was to Moses. It's the truth. Psalm 145. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For as many as are the promises of God, in him they are yes. Therefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. 1 Thessalonians 5:4. Faithful is he who calls us, and he will bring it to pass. You have trusted your life, hopefully, to a faithful God. Hopefully you have trusted him. I cannot think of a time, told you, 44 years, I cannot think of a time when God has not kept his word to me. It's not always been in my timing. You got to be kidding me, God. How is this helping anything? You know what? I have got to do something here. That's getting harder and harder to do. Anyway, sorry, guys. Just talk among yourselves. Okay, I'm going to turn away. You're going to clap? Come on. Hey, blow his nose. Great. You're an easy crowd, let me tell you. All right. I'm sorry. I was just tired of running. All right. You have trusted your life to a faithful God. I told you I cannot think of a time in my life when he has not come through. Been many times when I'd wondered, hey, are you there? I got saved at 22, and I immediately started praying for a wife. Incessantly, every day. To the point where people would not even ask me, do you need some prayer? To the point where every time I preached, I would talk about the fact that I needed a wife. I didn't get married until 13 years later. But I look back now, and you see, the Lord was using that to fix a lot of things in my life that needed fixing, all right? Because in desperation, I would keep, you know, I'd talk to someone and say, you know, there's this thing in your way. Anyway, the Lord used that time. And then the Lord brought me Mary. The church is filled with people with the same testimony as mine. We've trusted God with an uncertain future, and God has come through. He's delivered us. His word did not fail in our life. Romans 10:11 is my favorite verse in the Bible. It is my life verse. He who believes in Jesus will never be disappointed. He who believes in him will never be disappointed. The same thing is said in Romans 9:33, exactly the same, and also 1 Peter 2:6. Whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. That's the testimony of my life. Christian, as we begin 2019, some of you are going to have some tough times. We always have to remember that God, you and I have to remember God's promises to us are true. You can go online and you can order a whole book, and all it is about God's promises to you in your life. There's a promise for just about every situation you may find yourself in. And when you trust God's word, that promise that applies to that situation, God is going to come through because his word will never fail. Young person, that's anybody under 30. If you're over 30, yeah, you know. Just kidding. Are you anxious about your future? Anxious about your career, if you're going to get married, your schooling? I will just say to you, put your trust in God. And sleep heartily tonight. Because God's word for you will not fail. He will give you the desires of your heart. The Bible says, Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. We could go from that scripture there and to a lot of other ones. But if you trust God, you are going to get, if you delight yourself in him, if you seek him with all your heart, and, you know, we all blow it, but I mean, if you're really trying to live for Jesus, I am telling you, you're going to be 66 like me. He's 66? Wow. He looks so young. You're going to get old like me, and you're going to look back on your life, and you say, you know what? God has given me the desires of my heart. In the process, I'll be honest, some of the desires, things that I thought I wanted, God changed those desires to better ones, and he gave, and I am experiencing them. God can be trusted. And God will give you the desires of your heart because he'll go ahead of you. He's preparing the way. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. He's going to walk the walk of this life with you. He is, and when you need delivering, he's going to deliver you. He already has it planned. The deliverance you need in November of 2019, he's already got ready for you. He's already gone down the road, knows exactly what's going to happen. He's already prepared it for you. I know when I say something like that, all our minds go, tilt. What the? But it's true. God is an eternal God. There is no time. He knows the beginning and the end of everything before it happens. We serve an incredible God. Let me have the band up here. I have never regretted giving my life to Jesus. Never. Even when I'm on my knees with my hands in the air going, you've got to be kidding me. As we look into 2019, there's reasons to be excited. Because no matter what happens, it's almost exciting. Well, God, how are you going to work this out? How are you going to work this out? It's okay, Lord. I'm going to live for you, and I'm looking forward to the miracle. One of the tragedies, the sad things in my life, is when I see people going through a hard time, they just won't trust God. They go off and they do their own thing. And then I'm sad because I know that they've missed out. They've missed out on a miracle. They've missed out on something wonderful from God. That's what happens when we take things into our own hands and we don't wait and trust on God. I'm not saying you shouldn't be responsible. Just trust God. Let's all stand.